Blog Talk Radio.
Dice pineapple. Tonight you shall reach a height that the sky won't catch you. The highest form of my admiration. I ain't no connoisseur, but I'm kind of sure you will admire my tasting before the sun graze you. I'm trying to see how deep you are. And believe me, shawty, I ain't talking about no intimate conversation. I want to see if I can make you reach things unobtainable when I peek into your nature. And I promise you my goals will exceed any physical pleasure. I want to give you what's better than better. The better my effort, the wetter her treasure. The more these mere moments seem like heavens or temporary forevers. Try to get it together. Dice pineapple. May your love come down so my mind might have you. You design my imagination. Let me redefine foreplay so you need five. And tell me, shawty, you got it, baby. If it's not it, baby, hope it's progress, baby. Let it all drip, baby. Stop that shaking. No more talking, baby. No more talking, baby. Shawty so fine.
What's up, babe? What's up now? What's going on? Good evening. Welcome to the Clown Hour. My name is Scott Burks, and my sports bar is called The Clown Times, sponsored by K. You can find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you're ready to find me on the web, notably on Facebook. Just having fun at Cleveland's expense because they're getting their asses beat so far in the NBA Finals. Right now, the score is tied in Game 3 in Cleveland, in case you're wondering. But anyway, through a search in the upper left hand corner, I've been to Clown Times again as possible, okay? You can find me there as well. Well, yeah, boring as NBA playoffs are still going, as we all know. We're going to talk about what's transpired so far in the NBA Finals. And I do this with my partner in crime. Y'all know he's from Sleazy Radio every Tuesday night on Blog Talk Radio. And find out on the r/HBCU Sports blog, which he talks about all things HBCU sports. So he's the one and only, my partner in crime, Dwayne Nash. What's going on, fella? How you doing?
Scott, with the deal, quick question. Was that Wale and Rick Ross?
That was Wale and Rick Ross and Spice Pineapple. Him play the whole verse.
Ah.
But,
oh, yeah, my goodness. It's been a while since I heard that joint. That's why I asked. You know, Wale, D.C. area native, also
That's
used
right.
to play running back at Bowie State. And Rick Ross, one of my all-time – he played for about a year, and it was like, I'm going to go ahead and give it up. But, yeah, he's a huge sports head. And Rick Ross, for those that know me personally, one of my all-time best Halloween costumes. And especially in recent years. If you've never seen those photos, I say you have to see those pics.
Yes,
fantastic costumes.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I'm picturing you with that, because you already have a beard. So I'm picturing you with a made-out, grown-out beard with sunglasses and some interesting looking attire that would match up Rick Ross. But hopefully nothing like that one pitch he had will be like before he lost all that weight when he's sitting on the couch with his shirt off. But like his
you know what?
Hanging out.
if it wasn't too cold, I was actually thinking about getting fake tattoos all over my upper torso and walking around with the gold chains on and stuff. But it was a little too cold in D.C. that year, so I couldn't do it the way I wanted to. But
hey, you know what? And I think a lot of people, no disrespect, of course, were probably grateful for that.
I don't know. The costume got a lot of love to my demise of my then-girlfriend who didn't like the attention that I received from a group of women. That was...
I'm sorry for that
good
painful
time.
Memory. speaking of something more painful, the NBA Finals. I know you've been wanting to riff on this. I've been wanting to riff on this. I talked to this with a buddy of mine in Cleveland last week. Great podcast, by the way. Didn't know that there was so many black people were into tennis like that, but at any rate, that's not a hit.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's a sad year for the NBA when not only is the French Open more exciting, but the NHL playoffs, especially the finals, have been more exciting. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's drawn in huge ratings and everything, better interest. And who thought that Nashville was that lit? But at any rate, you know, what? I mean, the two first, I mean, yeah, I know the first two games, last year's finals, were similar ass whoopings before LeBron and the troops like rallied and came back. I mean, even though it did help that Draymond Green lost his damn mind and calling the B word after kicking another dude in the nuts early in the playoffs that day. But I don't, aside from another Draymond meltdown or just another unforeseen meltdown, I don't see Cleveland coming back. I just so overmatched. I mean, it's not that Cleveland's bad. Cleveland's very good. Obviously, they're a hell of a team. It's just that Golden State's freaking loaded. And that's why Kevin Durant, he said, well, bump it. I want to win a title, damn it. And then we'll get more of the Durant and the Warriors momentarily. But, I mean, Golden State's too good. They haven't been challenged all playoffs, even though that one injury to Kawhi Leonard, you know, thanks to that dirty play on Zha Zha, you know, cheap shot at him. But still, I think they were still better than San Antonio. And I just don't see Golden State. I mean, hell, Cleveland may get up one game, emphasis on May. I just don't see it happen. So, but is there, I mean, do you think Cleveland has a shot in hell against Golden State to at least get back in the series? Or should we just pay attention to something else?
Realistically, I'm going to say no, of course. Like you said before, it is very similar in terms of the deficit. And now, mind you, remember, for those that do remember, the games last year were bigger blowouts without KD.
Right.
Especially game two. But to your point in terms of the viewership, I don't know if you heard or not, but this is the highest viewership for the first two games in the NBA Finals since 1998. And we all know what happened in that year. So that was to my surprise. I didn't realize that many people were paying attention. But, you know, you had the LeBron haters. You have those brand-new Golden State Warrior viewers and fans that couldn't tell you the difference between Calvert Chaney or Mitch Richmond, you know. But now they all of a sudden go to State Warrior fans.
Those
but I digress.
Long-time Warrior fans, right? Those quote-unquote long-time Warrior fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the hell out of here with that. Yeah,
you know. But, I mean, I understand. I get it. But and you also have those that hate LeBron and want to see his demise. So, you know, you have a lot of people who are interested in watching the series. But unfortunately, it's going to be a situation where I think it's going to, and I've said before, that it was going to be a gentleman sweep, where it's going to be a five-game situation. Unlike last year, this Golden State Warrior team just has a little bit more talent than last year. And, of course, that little bit more, if you look at that upgrade from Harrison Barnes to Kevin Durant, huge upgrade right there. You know, I'm not even going to get into the semantics of that. But I will say this. If Cleveland wants to make it interesting, they're going to have to get help from everyone else. Now, in game two especially, you know, even though the game was a blowout, it was still relatively close for the first three quarters. And that was because you had fantastic play out of LeBron James, Kevin Love. And even though Kyrie didn't give you a huge game. I think he gave you like 19 points. It's still a quality 19. You're just not getting any help from Tristan Thompson. Once again, that's that Kardashian curse.
Kardashian.
He should have known better.
I was thinking the same thing.
God, he should have known better.
Girls alone.
I understand, but you know what? I understand why they don't. It's another conversation for another show. But
I know.
You know, so Tristan's going to have to play better. Iman Shumpert's going to have to play better. They're going to have to get better play from Kyle Colbert, who Golden State has seemed to figure out in terms of cutting down his three-point production. Even though he's not getting a ton of minutes, they're going to get a lot of help from those other guys coming off the bench too, like Deron Williams and Jason Richard Jefferson. I'm sorry about the call him Jason Richardson. Once again, thinking about old Golden State Warrior players.
Derek, Derek Williams too.
Derek Williams and Channing Frye.
Yes, especially Channing.
You know, they were expecting Channing Frye to have the ability to stretch the floor, not as well as Kevin Durant, but it'll be a threat along with Kevin Love as bigs to stretch the defense of Golden State. But it just hasn't happened yet. But like I said, if they're going to come back, that's the way it's going to happen. But I don't see it happening because this is starting to look very reminiscent to the finals of 2 years ago where it was the LeBron James show sans Kyrie Irving, of course, because of his injury, and everyone else is shooting horribly. I don't know if statistically everyone else is shooting as horribly as they were that year, but it seems to look that way.
You know, here's what I'm thinking. I know that Coach Ty Lue said he wasn't going to change anything, he was going to keep J.R. Smith was starting the lineup. But let's be real about something. J.R. ain't giving him shit. They're not giving him anything. I mean, it's one thing to be cold. I mean, hell, it happens. I mean, shooters go through cold streaks. You got to shoot your way out of it, right? There's another thing, not only to be timid and barely taking a shot, but not play any D as well. If you notice last year, J.R. did a hell of a job. A hell of a job on Stephen Curry. He was the defensive monster. And also helped that he was hitting his shots and staying engaged along with Shumpert and Dele. But the thing is that, and by the way, as funny as it seems, I think Cleveland misses Dele a lot. I think they miss his grit. I think they miss his defensive intensity and fearlessness on defense.
They do. They really do.
Yeah.
But, you know, you would think it's funny, and you're right, but you would think that there would be an upgrade by getting Deron Williams. Go figure, right?
Right. So, yeah, I know. You saw how that turned out. but here's the deal, though. JR has to give him something. He has to give him something. If he still can't get going offensively, at least get on the defensive. You got to keep him getting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got to get him the hell out of there. Put in Shump. Give Shump more minutes. And give the aforementioned Derek Williams and Channing Frye minutes. And make them focus on D. Because Golden State's tough, but they're not tough. Okay? I mean, sans Draymond Green, they're not tough. I will use the same formula that they did last year and just grind them. Make everything a grind. Make the most out of your offensive possessions, which it is, Davey and Cleveland, the Cavaliers rather, and just beat them up defensively. Make them work. Because say what you want about Draymond against his ass suspended for game 5 last year, it came down to Cleveland grinding them out. They grinded Golden State out to the point where Golden State was frankly wore out in game 7. I honestly believe that. I mean, they didn't have this platinum rush. Hell, they were held to under 90 points in game 7. You know? I think Cleveland been, 90 to 86, something like that. They held them well below their scoring average.
That's yes, they did. It was. Yes.
So
I completely agree with you.
They need to slow these cats down and D them up and just don't go 90 thug ball on them, so to speak, but just rough them up. Just D them up. Because they look like they didn't give a damn defensively the first 2 games. I mean, hell, both teams scored in the 60s by halftime last game. So Cleveland
Golden State almost scored 70. They almost scored 70 in game 2 at the half. It was insane.
Yeah.
And that's the funny thing, because they looked better defensively while giving up 70 points in the first half close to it.
Imagine that. And now, speaking of which, the second quarter started, Golden State scored 39 points in the first quarter.
See?
But anyway, It's yeah. Anyway, so enough about the Cyber League. Let's say y'all play some defense and start carrying on the defensive end. It's going to be a to your point, a gentleman sweep, but I think it's going to be a stress sweep if they don't get together defensively, because they can't you can't run up and down the court on these guys. They need to just D them up, make the most, just take the air out of the basketball, so to speak, and just grind them out.
Yeah.
Grind those cats out. That's what they
now,
need
see,
to
the
do.
Reason why,
not doing it.
The reason why I think it will be a gentleman sweep, Steph keeps showing me time and time again, he has the ability to be very lax with the ball. And I'm waiting for one of those games where it becomes a detriment to them in the finals. And I'm thinking it's either going to be tonight or tomorrow. Game four. Doesn't think it's going to be tonight unless something happens in the second half. But I'm just expecting one of those games to be extremely problematic. And LeBron just ends up being super LeBron that the LeBronites fall in love with. We'll see that guy at least one of these games. I'm guessing it's going to be in his hometown, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was straight four.
Right, and that's the thing, because by the way, the score at the end of one is 39-32. So while Cleveland's going scoring, they still can't beat Golden State up. I mean, they have to. I'm sounding like a broken record, so I'm gonna move on. So speaking of
that's
Cleveland,
fine.
Let's move on them. Let's move on them to what looks like to be the dominant team right now, Golden State. You mentioned Kevin, we both talked about Kevin. The addition of Kevin Durant in the offseason, I think, was Golden State's straight response to Cleveland winning it last year. I know that sounds like a basic observation, right? No crap, Sherlock. I mean, the sports don't tell me that yet. The sky is blue, but I mean, Golden State really wanted Cleveland in the worst way. Remember what Draymond Green said early in the postseason, that he wants to annihilate them. That was a quote, annihilate Cleveland. They want to just blow their asses out of the water, make this title like legit, unlike in many people's eyes 2 years ago when they beat a Cleveland team sans Kyrie and Kevin Love. The obvious upgrade for Kevin Durant, even though it came at the expense of the bench, but one thing that we didn't see coming was that Kevin Durant not only showing out on the offensive end like we expected, but he's playing some hellacious defense. He's protecting the rim. This is probably the best defensive season I've seen him have. I mean, he's protecting the rim, he's getting a bunch of rebounds, and he's doing it in this series in particular on both ends of the floor. I mean, to the point where it's like Steph Curry to me has become like a sideshow. You know, it's become officially Kevin Durant's team after, you know, he felt himself out and ingratiated himself into the culture, immersed himself into the culture that is going to stay. He's taken off this postseason, and he's owning these finals. I mean, he's not slowing down. I mean, he came out hot in the first quarter. So, is it safe to say, I mean, and granted, Golden State is a perfect team for that, for Durant, because they're unselfish. As what Durant said earlier this season, maybe he meant that as a crap back to his former mate in OKC and Westbrook. But nevertheless, he's allowed to shine. He being Durant has been allowed to shine in Golden State, and he's putting his stamp on the team. And let's just face it. Golden State without Kevin Durant will not beat these Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's just be real about that. So, are you with me in the sense that this is now officially Kevin Durant's team, even though he probably doesn't give a damn? But I think this is his team now going forward, as long as he wants to stay there.
Well, before I answer that question, I have to respond by asking you a question.
Uh-oh.
What constitutes a team belonging to an individual player or being led by an individual player?
Well, let's put it this way. He being Durant, has led the team in scoring all season. I think that in these playoffs, he's taken up another notch, to the point that he allows Klay Thompson, of course Draymond, and even Stephen Curry to get theirs. Because who are you going to double now? You got you got the ultimate wild card. Well, not wild card, but you got the ultimate star. He's the second best player in the world. You put him on a team that had the reigning back-to-back MVP and Stephen Curry, even though he didn't play like in last year's playoffs. Well, at least in the finals. And then you got Klay Thompson, who's an excellent player, hell of a defender, but he's not a number one. And Draymond Green, he's the ultimate, like, he's the ultimate, what you call those knives that has inventory on it?
Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, Swiss Army knife. He could do anything. He could do anything. But he's not a number one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kevin Durant, he doesn't have an alpha attitude, but he has an alpha game, if that makes sense. And so his alpha game is doing the talking, and to the point where Cleveland literally has no answer for him. And not many teams had an answer for him this entire season. And,
exactly.
You know, I mean, think about this, though. Think about Golden State without KD last year. Everyone was gunning from who? Stephen Curry. And to the point where it was all about making him work, right, and then take your chances with not necessarily Klay because Klay was hot, but take your chance with maybe with Draymond and – I don't know who else, like the bench players, like
Harrison Barnes, Iguodala.
Especially that guy who was a starter for Christ's sake. So, I mean, it was easier the game plan against Golden State. Now you got the biggest player in the world, Durant, who's a 7-footer who can handle the rock, shoot from 30 feet, and take you down low and can beat you off the dribble. There's no matchup for that. I mean, who are you matching that up to? And if you try to double him, guess who else is open? Steph, Klay, Draymond, when he gets going.
Yeah.
And then Draymond's at heartbeat. He's not going anywhere. And, I mean, these guys, all these guys in their prime, and yet Kevin Durant, I don't want to say his head and shoulders above them all, but he's the man. No one has an answer for him, especially
true.
When he's going like that. So that's why I think that's his team.
Now, the reason why
not
I asked that,
cares, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, and people have been saying that, and actually it was really interesting, of course, because after the end of game two, Paul Pierce said that Kevin Durant was the best player in the world. I get his point, because at this moment, the way he's looking in these finals, you can say that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can say that, you know, when you're talking about overall comparison, but at this moment, in the NBA finals, he's playing that way. Now, the reason why I asked that question was because of this analysis that I made while leading up to tonight's show. Now, if you look at it, points per game for the entire season, rather close between the two of them. I think Steph may have edged them out just slightly, but not by much. But you start going into the other categories. Of course, KD is a better field goal shooter. Steph is a better three-point shooter. Steph is a slightly better free throw shooter. KD's a better rebounder. Steph is a better stealer. KD's a better blocker. So that's what you've seen throughout the entire regular season. Same thing throughout the entire playoffs. It's point the points per game is about even, and almost the same thing in those categories once again. It just happens to be that in the finals, it's a little bit more glaring of an issue. And I got to go ahead and quote my man Lou, my co-host from CBS Sports, what he said last night. The reason why it looks like KD is the leader or the best player on the team right now, like you said, it's a matchup, he's a matchup nightmare. And he just has a better matchup going into this series than anybody else does. Now, both him and Steph are scoring points, but, of course, KD scored more points. And it just happens to be the matchup that he has right now with the guys that are covering him. Whoever they're putting on him is not slowing KD down regardless of who they put on him. Be it Tristan. Be it Tristan. Be it Stumper. Be it Kevin Love. Be it LeBron James. Whoever they put on him, matchup nightmare, and he's getting his, and it just happens to be that he's shining at the right time. But I don't know if I necessarily want to give it and say that it's KD's team yet, because, of course, he's only been there for a year.
Sure.
And the fact that his play isn't that much more dominant than Steph Curry's. If it was a little bit more dominant, I would say probably so. But, of course, Steph has been there his entire career, and he's right,
right
there step for step with KD statistically. So I don't want to hand over the reins just yet. But right now, it looks that way because of the matchups.
Yeah. I mean, they just don't have an answer for him. And
nobody
think that
has an answer for that dude.
Well, yeah, to be sure. But I just think that if Golden State does close the game, which I think they will now, it's just a matter of how many games. I mean, KD is the runaway MVP. If he doesn't get MVP, serious MVP, something is seriously wrong.
You're right, which actually leads me to this question. Does that diminish Steph Curry's legacy? For the last 3 years, he has not been, even though winning the league MVP, especially unanimously last year.
Right. And he let them down last year. I mean, let's be real about that. If Golden State had won Game 7, guess who would have been the MVP? Draymond. Draymond had
yeah.
a hell of a game. He was one of the very few guys who showed up. He had over 30
mm-hmm.
points. He was hitting threes left and right. Had double-digit rebounds. Lots of assists. He played well on the defensive end. He left it all on the floor.
Yes, he did.
Just didn't show up. I mean, he just didn't. And if you go back the year before, it took really Golden State. Remember, Golden State was down 2-1
yeah.
To a Cavaliers team without Love and without Kyrie. LeBron
mm-hmm.
was doing everything. Poor guy. He was just a one-man band. I mean,
yeah.
and they lost Game 2. At home, they beat Golden State, lost Game 2 at home to that same Cleveland Cavaliers team, got smoked in Game 3 in Cleveland, and it took a genius out-of-the-box personnel move by Steve Kerr, and that was inserting Iguodala in the starting line.
Mm-hmm.
And whose sole responsibility was to check LeBron. That was his sole responsibility, and that's where it turned to state. He pretty much said, be up on LeBron and just take your chances and on the other cats beating y'all.
Exactly.
As long as you check LeBron, everything was cool. And that's what won that series for. And as a result, who was named MVP? Iguodala.
You
know, even though he was the sixth man, he became a starter. He became a much more viable and played well. He played
yeah.
well. And that's what made Steph bad, too, because that overshadowed his play. So, and rightfully so. I mean, of course he should have got an MVP. That was the catalyst to help him come back. That's why I say, beat a dead horse upside his head, but I just think that Kevin Durant is sending the message to the rest of the NBA that I'm
mm-hmm.
the man. I'm the second best player in the world. Hell, I'm playing with the best player in the world right now, and you can't stop. That's what he's saying right now. That's why I think that it's going forward. It's going to be his team. I really think so. Now, how would it affect them financially in terms of personnel moves, free agency down the road, and that big word ego? How would it affect that going forward? I don't know, but. The simple fact that Kevin Durant is balling out is mine. Since Robin goes in these playoffs, he pretty much say, "Hey, I mean, he's atoned for last year's Game 6 meltdown when he played when he was at OKC and had a chance to close out the Warriors, and he choked in the fourth quarter. Let's just call it what it was. He choked
mm-hmm.
and didn't show up in Game 7. As a result, he's making up for that and then some. So that's why I think." It's Kevin Durant. He's the man. He's just the man, period. I mean, again, Cleveland has shown that they have no answer to this dude.
None.
But anyway, well, we'll get you on here on this, bro. Let's just close this on this. Now, you've heard all this silly talk about is this team, is this Golden State team the best team ever, right? Like the collection of stars, and which, mind you, the star, those stars are all in their prime or entering their prime. With Katie, Draymond, Clay, and Curry. They're all are entering their prime or already in their prime. You just don't see it that often. But nevertheless, how they stack up to the 72-10 Bulls, or I think it was the 95 Bulls, the Showtime Lakers, the Celtics of the 80s, Bad Boy Pistons, I'm just blanking out here. The Spurs of the late 90s, early 2000s, the Kobe and Shaq Lakers. I should say Shaq and Kobe Lakers. I'm sorry, that was a petty dig at Kobe, but, I mean, hell, that was Shaq's period in the story. But anyway, I try to stay away from hypotheticals because the games, the NBA during those times were very different. Obviously, in the 80s and 90s, the hand check, all that, and there was the game was much more physical, especially in the 90s when defense was a premium. Now you can't even breathe on guys without being called for a foul. If you do foul a guy hard, as in slapping his wrist, you might get tagged for a flagrant.
Yeah.
So it's totally different games. Plus, a 3-point shot is much more effective than the big man's been legislated, all but legislated out of the game. But having said all of that, do you want to take a gander? Wayne Nash, a Sleazy Radio, a BR/HBCU Sports for our fame. Do you want to take a stab at who you think could measure up to the East Coast State Warriors? Is the 95 Bulls, Showtime Lakers, the Larry Bird-led Celtics, the Bad Boy Pistons, the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, the Tim Duncan-led Spurs in the prime of the late 90s and in the early 2000s? What say you?
Wow, if you're asking me, well, you are asking me because you just put my name in the question. So, yes, you're asking me. Now, of course I've had this conversation, and I've had this hypothetical multiple ways. My favorite way, of course, 7-game series, 3 games on each team's floor, and a 7th game at a neutral spot. With that said, whoever is the home team, that's who calls, that's who gets the calls in that era. So, say, it's the 80s Lakers versus this Golden State team. If you're in Inglewood, you're getting those 80s calls. I'm going to say something that a lot of people are not going to agree with when I say this. I think that all of the teams, all of the greats of previous eras would beat this Golden State Warrior team. All of them. And let me explain why. Let me start with the Bulls. I think it was the 96 Bulls that went 72-10. The reason why I'm starting with them, of course, is it's the most overly used. As a matter of fact, I've heard people last week try to match these two teams up. And one of the matchups that I've heard people attempt to use, they're doing it wrong. And for whatever reason, they keep underestimating this dude and doing him a disservice. And I'm thinking that I would use him the same way that Phil Jackson would use him. Not saying that I'm as great of a mind as Phil Jackson, but I just got an idea. Of course, the matchup nightmare of KD, I've heard people say that they would put what was this? I can't remember. Like Tony Kukoc on him. If you're talking about that second reign of the Bulls, no, I'm putting Rodman on him. Are you crazy?
Rodman,
you have one of the yes. Rodman, see,
I'm thinking Pippen, but Rodman. Okay.
Let me explain why Rodman. Of course, Pippen beats us a stalwart. Yes, but if Rodman a lot more athletic than what people give him credit for. A whole lot more athletic. Known to be able to cover taller guys. I don't know if he's as swift as KD or as fast as KD, But I'm thinking in a half-court situation, I think he will be able to defend him a lot better than what people expect. And his ability to get into people's minds, I think he may be able to get into his mind. So I'll go ahead, I'll put that matchup on him. Or I have a situation where it wouldn't be a switch with Pippen and Rodman, depending on the situation, between KD. Oh, no, why am I thinking about LeBron for? LeBron don't play on that squad. Forget about that. I don't know why LeBron popped in my head. It's because people have that conversation all the time with LeBron and Jordan. LeBron popped in my mind. LeBron don't play for G-State. Forget about that. So, no, I will keep Rodman on KD. With that said, I would put Pippen on Thompson. I would have B.J. Armstrong on Curry. Whoever you're playing at that three spot, actually, I will keep Jordan Jordan on Thompson, whoever the point guard, Ron Harper on Curry, Pippen.
That's interesting because Ron Harper is long.
Exactly. And I would have Pippen on Draymond, or have the situation where it would be a switch between Rodman and Pippen when they play the both of them, and Kukoc on Petrušić or Zaza. So that will be my starting lineup to match up against the starting five of Golden State. And I think people will be surprised on the defensive output of both Pippen and Rodman on KD, depending upon what the situation is. So I'm looking at it. This is a situation where KD wants to play down low a little bit. You go ahead and put Rodman on him. If he wants to stay outside, you can put Pippen on him.
Right.
It would be an interesting game. It would be an interesting series because, of course, I'm thinking that Chicago, of course, and all those teams of 2005 and earlier started with an inside-to-outside game, unlike the way it's played now with Golden State, where it's outside-in. But who's to say that certain guys wouldn't take more threes playing with a more wide-open offense with the Bulls? Who's to say that they wouldn't take more threes? Because that's what the thing is the fact that you're getting more attempts out of Steph and out of Klay than you traditionally would out of anybody during the 2000s on back, when you had guys that were taking 4 attempts, 5 attempts a game max. Now you got Steph taking 10 attempts per game. So if you got those guys taking more attempts, offensively, maybe a little bit more interesting. And defensively, I think that they will be able to put the clamps on Golden State a little bit better. Matter of fact, my favorite matchup is Bad Boy Pistons against Golden State right now.
I think a lot about that.
You know,
in my mind.
Matter of fact, Isaiah Thomas broke down how that team would face up against Golden State. And that's where I got the idea of putting Rodman on KD, because he said that Rodman would be able to face up on KD.
Because
he was a lot quicker then. So I think that matchup will be interesting as well. Fast break Lakers, that pace of offense, and their ability to play defense, in my personal opinion, a whole lot better than Golden State. But I don't see this Golden State team being any of the other greats. I really don't. Matter of fact, it's a little more interesting to me to compare Golden State facing up against those teams that never won titles, like the Indiana Pacers, like the Knicks with Reggie Miller and the Davis boys, or the Patrick Ewing-led Knicks. That has been a little bit more interesting to me to figure out who would win those series between those two teams.
Well, since it's like the Champions League, in England, where in Europe, where they have the Champions League of all the soccer teams, winners from all those leagues, qualifying. This is my own Champions League here with all the time teams. And, dude, let me say something. I'm going to piggyback exactly on the back of what you said. Not only do I think that Golden State will not beat the Bulls and the Showtime Lakers, I'll spread it out to the Celtics for the 80s.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think the Bulls would annihilate the hell out of them. I really do. I mean, because we hadn't seen any competitor like Michael Jordan, a mentally tough competitor like Michael Jordan. And the fact that he's not going to let some little 6'2" dude get better. He's not going to let that happen. He's not going to let Kevin Durant check him. If anything, he'll help take matters in his own hands. But then what he has to do. He was an above average defender. Let's not forget that about Jordan. But to your point, I mean, those teams will put a premium on playing defense. And again, they're just tough. I mean, the thing is that they're able to adapt. I mean, the Bulls can beat you in any way, in numerous ways. They can beat you offensively, and they could D you up. And same goes for the Showtime Lakers. A lot of people don't remember the Lakers did play defense. They do have a guy named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who not only had the most susceptible shot in history in the sky hook. He was the all-time leading block shots, even though they didn't count block shots as a statistic until 1972, I think it was. But nevertheless, he played defense. James Worthy, big game James, played defense. He was the one who checked Larry Bird most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not tough, I don't know what is. I mean, hell, if he had to check Larry Bird and that front line, which is still the greatest front line ever, I think that he would have an easier time with Kevin Durant and not be intimidated by those cats. I mean, hell. I mean, and plus, by the way, be sure to tune in to 30 for 30 next week. ESPN 30 for 30 next week on the Celtics Lakers. I'm so looking forward to it. But that's just a little
love
it. Yes, I'll be looking forward to that. The DVR is ready. But anyway. I mean, and I don't think, the Showtime Lakers will necessarily sweep Golden State. They will beat them. I think they will beat them. I don't think Golden State has an answer for Magic Johnson in his prime. I don't think they have an answer for James Worthy in his prime. Damn sure know they don't have an answer for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in his prime. I mean, again, that's why. I mean, the thing is, I mean, we can go on and on about it, but, I mean, I know there's different rules. Back in the 80s and 90s, the big men ruled in the NBA. The three-point shot wasn't as considered as premier as it is now. Now, the big man in the NBA is like a lost art. But, again, if you're just going by looks, if you're just going by personnel, if you watch games, watch film from the 80s, or if you're a 40-something like we are, remember games from the 80s, we know better. Let's put it that way. You would know better than to pick against them, against any team going against Golden State, because we just know better.
that's the other thing, too. You talk about the Bad Boy Pistons. They had a deep bench. They had a very deep bench.
Yes, they did.
Matter of fact,
that
I don't think that they can beat the 2000 Lakers. Or the 90s Rockets teams with Hakeem Olajuwon as deep as that team was, with Robert Horry coming off the bench, with Vernon Maxwell and of course Hakeem Olajuwon. I don't see them beating any of the other great teams, especially because of the fact that the one thing that is a hindrance to Steph Curry, which was what exposed him last year, is the ability to play him physically. If you can play him physically, which was all those team strong suits, he doesn't tend to play well. He just doesn't.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. So, again, you've heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Well, probably anywhere else, but definitely none of those – Golden State doesn't have a chance in none of those teams. But you know what? That's what makes things fun. We'll be back and forth talking about it. You know, even though it will obviously never happen.
Of course not.
We can all dare to dream, because this year's finals looks to be like a snoozer. So we have the
I mean, we have to think of something. But anyway, thanks, Five D. I'll let you next week.
I do what I can, man. I do what I can with my old man bias.
Okay. Same here. Old man tonight. Peace out, bro.
Peace.
That's my guy, Dwayne Ash. Please check him out on Sleaze Radio every Tuesday night on Blog Talk Radio, as well as the Yard Association CU Sports Blog. Yeah, so let's just check the score right quick. Oh, 59-55. It's a game. Well, check that. 59-56 now. A minute and 42 seconds left in the second half. Still, Cleveland ain't playing no defense, so it's been a long night for them. But anyway, let's just try to have fun with this finals. This is Scott Burks with the Clown. Thanks to y'all for tuning in. Have a good evening, good night, and good weekend.